Yes. Just had a brain freeze. No, I didn't. My brain never freezes. I'm glad everybody's back from their Thanksgiving break. I'm sure everybody's glad to be back from their Thanksgiving break. I'm sure everybody just thrilled to be back in class and school, getting the papers done. And I know the high school kids have leaf collections and reports and things due. And I know everybody was working on them throughout the holiday vacation, because I know most of you are very diligent and you wanted to get ahead of the game. So I'm sure you guys were working on projects and things over the holiday. And I just want to commend you for that. I want to commend you for that, because I know I am looking at a great body of individuals in here today, I'm sure. And everybody said, yeah, right, Mr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Ramos, want to thank you for that tidbit. That was a great special. I thought you were going to start singing. Yeah, I know, we didn't want to hear it. But we thought you were going to start singing. So that was really good of you. I did want a special. So I decided not to sing for you. That's good, guys. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. Mark, chapter number 10. I'll deal with the rich man today. One of the things that I've been dealing with ourselves, thinking about. Today I entitled this message, Problem with the Rich Man. Problem with the Rich Man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have together. We pray now as we look into your word. We pray, Father, once again that you would just meet with us, Father, and that you would bless the message as it's preached. Father, it's not mine. It's no one's in here. God, it's your message, God, that you have for us. And I pray, Father, that you would bless it. I pray that you would speak through me. And I pray, Father, as was already prayed, Father, that you would draw us closer to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter number 10, beginning verse number 17. When Jesus was going forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said it to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. He answered and said unto him, Master, all of these things have I kept from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I know you know this story. Very familiar story. Here is a young rich ruler that comes to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he ran to Jesus. He wanted to get to Jesus. We don't really know why. We think he was earnestly coming to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus, and he has a question. He says, Jesus, what may I do to inherit eternal life? What good thing must I do? Today, I believe we as a rich man, sometimes we come earnestly to Christ. But when we come with, like the rich man, we come with stipulations. We come with our thoughts and our minds. We come with what we think we ought to do. We don't really come earnestly ready to do whatever God tells us to do. We've been encouraged lately to examine ourselves in the sermons that we've been hearing. We've been encouraged to open ourselves up and let God check us out. As we see the story, because we know the end of the story, we know the rich man was not willing to do that. He was willing to go to Christ, but he wasn't willing to do what Christ wanted him to do. He wasn't willing to open himself up and say, Lord, please examine me. Please do whatever you need to do. He had a good look, we know that. But was he willing to do what Christ wanted him to do? Today I'm going to look at some problems with the rich man. I'll get right into it. First of all, when he went to Christ, he wanted to do things his way. He wanted to do good things his way. Look what it says in verse number 17. It says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? We know the answer to that. What can you do to inherit eternal life? What can you do? What can you give to God to buy eternal life? What good does any of us have in here? And there are some good kids in here. There are some good people in here. But what good can any of us do to inherit eternal life? And I would imagine, and I'm not trying to put anything on anybody, but I would imagine that in a crowd this size, there's probably someone in here that's holding on to that good for their salvation. And there's probably some that in here that's probably not saved. And I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. It would be wonderful if everyone in here was saved. But he comes and he says, what should I do to inherit eternal life? There's nothing, but we see pride here. He's looking for a good way to get to heaven, and there's only one way. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. The Bible says ye must be born again. This man wanted to elevate himself instead of God. And you know what? We sometimes are like that. Sometimes we come to God with our chest out, thinking that we're something because people have called us good. I've already said it. There's good kids in here. And so people have called us good for so long, it's in your head that you're good. So you start walking this walk, the good walk, and you start holding on to the good walk and not on to Christ. What you're doing is you're starting to do things your way. There was a kid in college. His name was Ben Fonseca. Now, I don't know what the styles are now, but when we had to do papers, we had to use the Campbell style way of writing papers. Have you guys heard of that? Just raise your hand. Somebody just raise your hand. And the teachers, whoever it was, would tell us that this is the way you had to do the paper. I don't remember how it was. I'm sorry, I didn't look it up to say how it was, because you don't care anyway. But when you turn that paper in, it had to be done a certain way. It had to be formatted a certain way. Now, we didn't have computers back then. We had typewriters. So I'd never type my papers. We'd get somebody to do it. And I would make sure that it was done the right way. I didn't know at the time what it was. But I remember this kid, his name was Ben. He thought he was going to get away with turning his paper in the way he wanted to turn it in. And I remember saying, Ben, you know, you probably ought to want to do this right. And that wasn't a goody two shoes. But this is one thing I did have. I think, so you probably want to turn this paper in the right way. Oh, Todd. Yeah, I'll be all right. These teachers, they don't even read the papers. Well, they did that one. And he came back, and I think I got a C, and I did it right, and he got an F. At least I got a C. I don't remember what I got. But so many times, that's how we come to Christ. Oh, God's going to accept this. We may come to the altar. Oh, God. Oh, God, please. Oh, Jesus. I just need to get this taken care of. And we come to God like that. But in all reality, we're not really coming to God to get that issue taken care of. You're coming to God because you want to feel good. Because you have every intention of doing things your way. My wife and I have this saying when we see people doing certain things. We know that at the end of the day, if a person doesn't truly want to get right with God, they're going to do things their way. We're the same way. We're not excluded from that. If we don't truly want to be right with God, we're going to be just like everybody else, and we're just going to go through the motions. But when you go to God, and the Bible says this man ran to him. He ran to God, and he fell on his knees. The Bible says God loved him. Jesus loved him. He shows his attribute. He sees this man, and God loves him, but God knows his what? Like he knows yours. Like he knows mine. You come to God. Be it known today. Everybody else may know and think that you're this great person. Come to God, be it known today that he knows your heart. And I can see people looking around at this rich man as he's at Jesus, and they're probably saying to this man, they were probably saying about this man, look at this guy. Boy, he's sincere. He's for real. Look at him. He's for real. Bowing down to him. He called him master. And in his heart, he has no intention of doing what God's going to tell him to do. Because he wanted to live his life his way. And we see that so often. We want to live our life our way. We want to live our life our way in our prayers. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I'm going to pray my way. I'm going to harbor sin in my heart. And God's going to hear me. I told one guy this. The guy got mad at us. Me and Sam were talking to him. And we had to tell him. His wife was sick. We had to tell him. We said, God does not hear the prayer of a sinful man. And he got mad at us. If you're harboring sin, I didn't say it. And yet sometimes a lot of times we go to God with sin in our hearts, and we pray, and God does not even hear our prayers because we do it our way. We want to come to God in our standards, our way. I know the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I know the Bible says, when I got saved, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We know the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. We know that. We know that. But I'm going to live my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to dress my way. I'm going to listen to the music my way. I'm going to talk my way. There's a problem. You can't live for God your way. Ask King David when he put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. Ask Uzzah when he did something real good. God told him not to touch it. Ask him. When he saw that ark about to fall off that cart, and he just, in an innocent way, goes over and just reaches up to touch the ark. Ask King Uzziah. God said, don't go into the Holy of Holies. He said, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do it my way. Go ahead and live life your way. You be the only one in all the billions and billions of people that have ever lived to make it to God your way. Show us. Of all the billions of billions, nobody has ever done it. You show us. God wants us to come to him his way. The Bible says there's a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And this is what scares me, especially for young people. Because young people have this grand ideal of life. We got this grand ideal of life. Man, I'm gonna go burn the world up and make money. I'm gonna be when I graduate, I'm gonna be this great, economist. The world needs an economist. You heard Mr. Ramis. It needs an economist. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a great economist. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be what do you want to be? Yeah. Yeah, I want to be a pastor.
Good answer. Jesus, the Bible.
I'm going to go to school and I'm going to be, this great something. What did God say? What did God tell you to be? But yet you're going to go through life and you're going to live life your way. Go ahead and try it. There's a way which seemeth right. That's for us. I know I'm dating this guy. And he's not, there's some questions about him. I like this girl and there are some questions about her. I don't quite know.
I'll leave that one alone.
Number two, he was depending upon his works. Look what it says in verse number 20. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Boy, I think that's very fitting for us. I think that's very fitting through us. you could say that this was a pretty good guy. He was a pretty good guy, like I just said about most of us. He'd not talk nice, walk nice. He grew up. He kept all of these things from his youth. Can't we say that about you kids? Most of you probably grew up in a Christian home. Most of you probably had family devotions. Most of you probably have your own devotions. You could come to God and say, God, what am I lacking? And God says, do this. And you could probably say, God, I haven't done any of those things. I haven't been to the movies. I haven't been to the disco roller skating rinks. There used to be that. Me and Josh, just a month ago, or I don't know how long ago, we're visiting in Gary. And as we're driving down the road, we see this guy. Am I right, Josh? We see this guy. On roller skates. I can't make it up. He's like. I said, lock your doors. I remember, did he have music? I don't know if he had it. I don't think he had earphones on. But he's just strutting down the. You can say, man, I've never done that. Thank the Lord. I've never put a cigarette in my mouth. I've never picked up a can of beer and put it in my mouth. I've never said a curse word. All of these things have I kept from my youth up. I've been a pretty good kid. I've been a pretty good kid. I've gone visiting. We used to go to the airports and hand out tracts. I've been a pretty good person. But God knows your heart. You may look good on the outside, and that's good. That's okay. But what does God say about your heart? What does God say about your heart? Number three. He was not willing to give up what he had. Look what he says in verse number 22. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. Why? What did he have? I would venture to say probably most of you probably live better than he did. I bet you he probably never flew on an airplane. I bet you he never drove in a Lexus 2002 Ford Taurus. But he was never able to go over to the thermostat in his house and turn it down. Boy, he had a lot. He had a lot. And probably there's someone in here saying, don't you think God was asking a little much of him? Don't you think God was probably asking? No, God was getting to the core of what he needed. He is holding on to his what he has been brought up in, what he has been taught. He's holding on to that. He's holding on to his traditions. They were taught to keep the commandments. They were taught to live the way they were living. They were taught all of that. So he is holding on to that. So God goes through these commandments. And God, because he knows him, gets down right to the core of him. Right to the core. What does he say? For where your heart is, there will your what? Treasure be also. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know what this rich man wasn't willing to do? What some of us aren't willing to do. We aren't willing to seek first the kingdom of God. And you're going to be just like the rich man. You're going to keep seeking after that money. You're going to seek after that pleasure. You're going to seek after whatever. Whatever. Some talent you may have. I'm going to be a soccer star one day when I grow up. I'm going to be a professional trumpet player. Whatever. And God simply says to me and you, what are you putting first? So God reaches deep into this man's heart. He sees that he's there. He's on his knees. God reaches deep into this man's heart. He reaches deep and grabs a hold of the problem. And he says this. He says, go and sell everything you have and bring it to me because I need it. I need to put it in my bank in heaven. I've given out too much and my bank account is getting kind of low. So I want you to sell what you have. Go sell it all. And bring it to me so I can just put it back in the reserves. Because he needs what you have. Oh, yeah. He needs you. He needs what you have. He can use it. Oh, yeah. Turn his world upside down. Whatever you have. There might be another Bill Gates in here. We don't even know it. Is that what God said? God didn't need what he had. God didn't want what he had. God shows me a couple of things here. God says, I don't want it. But he says this. Go give it to somebody that needs it. Go give it to somebody that needs it. Some of us aren't willing to do that. We're not willing to give up. So God can send me where? He gonna send me where? Timbuktu. Where? Timbuktu. He's going to send me. No. Those people. No. Mosquito bites you, you're dead in 2 days. No, I'm not going there. I'm not selling what I have. I'm not giving what I have to the poor. No. I'm not living. No, I'm not going to do it. I want to be. Isn't this what he's saying? Isn't this what the rich man's saying? I want to be. I want to stay rich. I want to stay wealthy. I'm not giving up what I have. Those people that work for the Lord, That's out. I'm not living for Jesus. No. Now, I'm not living in this full-time Christian service. I'll live for Jesus, but not just full-time Christian service. Well, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to go to church. I'll even go soul winning, but I'm not going to full-time Christian service. You're the rich man. Jesus didn't tell him to go and sell some of what you had. Did he? What did he tell him? Go and sell how much? How much? All that you have. Now don't sit here and say you don't have anything because you have a will. And you need to give it to Jesus. And I know as a fact that some are fighting that. And it scares me when I hear, I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. Even if it's a pastor, like he said, it scares me sometimes. Because in my head, in my heart, I always come back to this. What did God tell you to go and sell? Did you go and sell all that you had? Lord, I want to have eternal life. Go and sell all that you have. Lord, I want to live for you. Make it right to that person that you wronged. You're fighting with someone. Go make it right. I don't know if I could do that to Barrett because I don't know if I could make it right with him. Go make it right. As you get older, you don't do it. The kids, when they're made to do it, say you're sorry. You know I'm sorry. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, you happy, Mom? But as you get older, you don't do it. Go sell all that you have. What? 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 Put that down. What? It's hard, isn't it? What won't you sell and give to the poor? Boys. I know that some of the boys. They won't sell. They won't sell. There's a couple of things for sale. But there's some things that's not for sale. Bible tells us, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I'm done. I didn't realize the time. I'm done. Acts chapter 16. At verse number 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." I'm done. How do you come to Christ? You come to Christ trembling, but then you believe. retells you, you believe it. And then the rich man did it. Or excuse me, the jailer did it. The rich man, if he would have sold he had all that he had and gave it to the poor, he thought he was losing. He thought he was losing everything. If I do it, I'm going to lose everything. But what did Jesus know? That he would probably, no, excuse me, that he would be in heaven today. And he would have gained everything. He would have gained everything. When you go into Christ, let him search us. Search us. And be willing to surrender whatever he wants us to surrender. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we pray now as you give this invitation, I pray that you would speak to hearts. God, thank you for speaking to me. And Holy Spirit, I pray, Father, that you would use your word, the message, and the hearts of these young people. Father, I pray, God, that it would go forth, God, as you intended to go forth. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to stand at your seat with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. God has spoken to your heart. What are you willing to give it all? Are you willing to sell? Are you living it life your way? God's dealt with your heart. You come and do business with him right now. You come at this time.